In this country, the chief legal counsel for President Bush's re-election campaign has resigned. Benjamin Ginsburg was also advising a veterans group that is attacking John Kerry's Vietnam War record. The Bush campaign had denied any coordination with that group, as NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams reports.
Ginsburg's resignation didn't satisfy the Kerry campaign. Mary Beth Cahill, Kerry's campaign manager, said it only confirms the ties between President Bush and the veterans. Meanwhile, Republican Bradley Smith, the Clinton-appointed chairman of the Federal Election Commission, says the FEC is not likely to rule on the Kerry complaint before Election Day.
No matter how fast we were to act, you've got 60 days of built-in time. That's assuming we did no factual investigation or anything. It would be very, very tough to complete action on this before the election.
Even the resignation of Bush lawyer Ben Ginsburg does not constitute evidence of coordination, according to Smith.
I'm surprised how aggressively the Kerry campaign has kind of pushed that notion, because their lawyer, Bob Bauer, is the lawyer for Americans Coming Together, a much, much larger 527 than the Swift Boat veterans.
However, a spokesperson for the Kerry campaign said the issue is one of deception. Kerry's aides say the Bush campaign denied having any ties to the Swift Boat group, but the FEC chairman said he found the ads, no matter what their content, in keeping with a spirited political contest.
The main thing that's got people upset is the message. And isn't it great that we're in a country where a group of citizens is able to put a message out there that impacts a major presidential race?
What Smith does not point out is that almost half of the cost of the first ad run by the anti-Kerry veterans group was paid for by one major Republican donor who was a longtime Texas supporter of President Bush. But Smith says the source of the money is not relevant. Meanwhile, pressure is building on historian Douglas Brinkley, the author of Tour of Duty, a biography based on diaries written by Senator Kerry during his time in Vietnam. Brinkley had access to the diaries, which might settle many questions about Kerry's actions during the war. But so far, Kerry has refused to make them public. In Brinkley's first extensive public comments on the controversy, he says while writing the book, Kerry allowed him to see some of the war diaries and letters, which are still housed at Kerry's Boston home. Brinkley photocopied some material, but for the most part, now only has his notes.
John Kerry can let anybody he wants see any of his photographs, scrapbooks, whenever he feels like it. What's unrealistic is with 69 days in the campaign trail, every reporter on planet Earth keeps calling me, and I have no control of John Kerry's literary state.
But would you agree that it's time to open the archives and allow people to look at John Kerry's diaries?
That's not my call. That's up to John Kerry. These are not government documents. These are just personal papers.
But Brinkley recognizes there is reason for some veterans to be angry with Kerry.
I'm more acutely aware than anybody that there are a lot of Vietnam veterans who disdain John Kerry for what he did when he protested in April 71 against the war. And that, I think, is at the heart of this controversy.
Brinkley's assessment is surprisingly in line with John O'Neill's, the author of Unfit for Command, a book attacking Kerry. O'Neill remains upset with Kerry's testimony before Congress in 1971.
He said that war crimes were committed on a day-to-day basis with the full awareness of officers at all levels of command. Those were knowing lies. I was there. Only somebody that was a tremendous moral coward would go and make up a lie in order to become a major figure in the anti-war movement.
What O'Neill does not say is that Kerry based his testimony not on personal experience, but on first-person reports from veterans at a conference in Detroit held before Kerry's Senate testimony. Yesterday, author O'Neill ran into his own archival issue when a secret 1971 tape was released in which he told President Nixon he had been in Cambodia. That contradicts O'Neill's recent statements that he never had been in that country. Juan Williams, NPR News, Washington.